September 3rd, time out about.
Again, in Donnie's absence, on Wednesdays I've been doing time on the Bible, but focused on the Judges. Of course, I did a different kind of timeline last week, but I'm going to continue on with the Judges study. So you can go ahead and get your Bibles out and turn to the book of Judges. We had covered Abimelech last time, and we have a couple of more minor judges, and I say minor simply because we're not told much about them, but a verse or two. And then we have our next major judge, again, because there's so much written about it, and that's Jephthah. But first, these two minor judges, you'll turn to chapter 10 of Judges. This is after Abimelech's story that we went through last time. We have Tola and Jair. All we know about Tola is in chapter 10, the first two verses. It says, after Abimelech, there arose to save Israel Tola, the son of Puah, son of Dodo, and man of Issachar, and he lived at Shamer in the hill country of Ephraim, and he judged Israel 23 years. Then he died and was buried at Shamer. And that's all we know about that judge. Jair, the next few verses, we're told after him arose Jair, the Gileadite, who judged Israel 22 years. And he had 30 sons who rode on 30 donkeys. And they had 30 cities called Havoth-Jair to this day, which are in the land of Gilead. And Jair died and was buried in Canaan. So again, these minor judges, simply because of the amount of material we have about them. The next thing we're going to see after this is Israel again serves other gods. This is kind of their pattern. The judge is there for a while. They're kind of faithful for a while, and they go back and serve these other gods after they've been delivered. We see Israel oppressed for the next 18 years after this last judge. And then we're going to see that they call out to God for help. And just before we are introduced to the next judge, Jephthah, who we're going to talk about this morning, you're going to see that the Ammonites are camped at Gilead, and they're ready to fight. And so let's begin in chapter 10. In verse 6, and we just talked about right there. The people of Israel again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and they served the Baals and the Ashtaroth, the gods of Syria, and the gods of Sidon, the gods of Moab, the gods of the Ammonites, and the gods of the Philistines. And they forsook the Lord and did not serve him. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. He sold them into the hand of the Philistines and into the hand of the Ammonites. And they crushed and oppressed the people of Israel that year. For 18 years they oppressed all the people of Israel who were beyond the Jordan in the land of the Amorites, which is in Gilead. And the Ammonites, by the way, we keep on seeing those two terms, Amorites, Ammonites. Let's keep those separate. And the Ammonites crossed the Jordan to fight also against Judah and against Benjamin, and against the house of Ephraim. And so that Israel was severely distressed. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord, saying, we have sinned against you, because we have forsaken our God and have served the Baals. And the Lord said to the people of Israel, did I not save you from the Egyptians, and from the Amorites, and from the Ammonites, and from the Philistines, the Sidonians also, and the Amalekites, and the Maonites oppressed you, and you cried out to me, and I saved you out of their hand. Yet you have forsaken me and served other gods, and therefore I will save you no more. Go and cry out to the gods whom you have chosen. Let them save you in the time of your distress. And the people of Israel said to the Lord, we have sinned. Do to us whatever seems good to you. Only please deliver us this day. Then we see something a little different, verse 16. So they put away the foreign gods from among them and served the Lord. And he became impatient over the misery of Israel. And we see in verse 17, the Ammonites were called to arms and they encamped in Gilead. And the people of Israel came together and they encamped at Mizpah. And the people, the leaders of Gilead, said one to another, who is the man who will begin to fight against the Ammonites? He shall be head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. Okay, so we see these Ammonites have encamped there at Gilead, and they're ready to fight. And then we're introduced in chapter 11 to Jephthah. We saw again, we talked about those who were here for the class Wednesday, we saw that Abimelech was born of a concubine. If you remember that, he had 70 brothers. His dad had wives and had these 70 kids, but he was born of a concubine. He was by himself in that. We also saw that Abimelech had went and he slew his half-brothers who were born of his father and their wives, legitimate wives, legitimate kids. In contrast, we're going to see about Jephthah here in a minute. Much like him, he was also born of a prostitute. His dad had a wife who had kids, but he was illegitimate himself as far as he was from a prostitute. But instead of him going and killing his half-brothers, we're going to see something opposite. His half-brothers are going to put him out. There's a contrast to these two, Abimelech and Jephthah. Let's read the first three verses of chapter 11 here. Now Jephthah the Gileadite, even there at Gilead, was a mighty warrior, but he was the son of a prostitute. Gilead was the father of Jephthah. And Gilead's wife also bore him sons. And when his wife's sons grew up, they drove Jephthah out and said to him, "You shall not have an inheritance in our father's house, for you are the son of another woman." And Jephthah fled from his brothers. He lived in the land of Tob. And worthless fellows collected around Jephthah and went out with him. The next thing we're going to see is, again, the Ammonites are going to begin this war. And Jephthah's people, they just drove him out. They're going to go to him and they're going to ask him to help. He's asking to be their ruler. And again, in contrast, what did Abimelech do? Abimelech had made himself ruler. He went and killed his brothers, made himself ruler. Here we're going to see they've driven out Jephthah. His people, his brothers, are going to come to him, and they're going to ask him to be ruler. But he didn't kill his brothers. Let's read it at the beginning of verse 4. After a time, remember these Ammonites have collected themselves outside of Gilead. After a time, the Ammonites made war against Israel. When the Ammonites made war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to bring Jephthah from the land of Tob. And they said to Jephthah, "Come and be our leader, that we might fight against the Ammonites." But Jephthah said to the elders of Gilead, "Did you not hate me and drive me out of my father's house? Why have you come to me now when you are in distress?" And the elders of Gilead said to Jephthah, "That is why we have turned to you now, that you may go with us and fight against the Ammonites and be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead." And Jephthah said to the elders of Gilead, "If you bring me home again to fight against the Ammonites and the Lord gives them over to me, I will be your head." And the elders of Gilead said to Jephthah, "The Lord will be witness between us if we do not do as you say." So Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and leader over them. And Jephthah spoke all his words before the Lord at Mizpah. So we're seeing this getting set up here. Now Jephthah, in this next part, he is going to send messengers to the king of the Ammonites. The Ammonites are at war with him. He's going to send a messenger to this king of the Ammonites, basically asking, "Why are you fighting us? Why are you doing this?" The king's reply, the king of the Ammonites' reply, is about this land that you're going to be reading about in our next part here. This land from the Arnon to the Jabbok, all the way to the Jordan. That's what his reply is going to be about, this land in this area here. This king of the Ammonites claims that this land was once theirs and Israel took it. That's what we're going to see. Okay? And he wants it back. Peaceably, if possible. That's kind of implied, you know, we're here at war. If need be, we want it back peaceably. So let's read verse 12 and 13. Then Jephthah sent messengers to the king of the Ammonites and said, "What do you have against me that you have come to me to fight against my land?" And the king of the Ammonites answered the messengers of Jephthah, "Because Israel, on coming up from Egypt, took away my land from the Arnon to the Jabbok to the Jordan, and now therefore restore it peaceably." So this is the area, this is the land that's in question here that he wants back. He claims it was his. "You took it from me. I want it back." Jephthah sends word back in the next portion saying, "This land was never the Ammonites' land. It was the Amorites, not the Ammonites, not your land. It was the Amorites' land. And we did not take it, but it was given to Israel by God. And only because the Amorites had started war with Israel in the first place." We're going to see he starts telling about this king of Edom and Moab who would not let them pass. That's how he starts his reply. So let's read verses 14 through 17. As he's starting to tell this tale. Jephthah again sent messengers to the king of the Ammonites and said to him, "Thus says Jephthah, Israel did not take away the land of Moab or the land of the Ammonites. But when they came up from Egypt, Israel went through the wilderness to the Red Sea and came to Kadesh. So he's going all the way back to coming out of Egypt. They come up through this Red Sea. They came to Kadesh. Another place we can come in. Came to Kadesh. Verse 17. Israel then sent messengers to the king of Edom, saying, "Please let us pass through your land." But the king of Edom would not listen. And they sent also to the king of Moab, but he would not consent. So Israel remained at Kadesh. This is going to tell the story from way back when. Now, let's read the original story. He just recounted the story. We'll read this original story. And also see in this story, in this time frame, the deaths of Miriam and Aaron. And another familiar story to us. Let's turn over to Numbers chapter 20. Again, Jephthah's just told this story. We didn't take your land. We came through here. We went through two kings. They wouldn't let us pass. He's recounting this story. But again, around this time, there's another familiar story to us we're going to read about here. And the other deaths we talked about. Chapter 20, verse 1 of Numbers. And the people of Israel... Remember, this all happens, by the way, around Kadesh. Remember they went to Kadesh to stay? And the people of Israel, the whole congregation, came into the wilderness of Zin in the first month, and the people stayed in Kadesh. And Miriam died there and was buried there. So you see the death of Moses' sister here. There was no water for the congregation, and they assembled themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Would that we had perished when our brothers perished before the Lord. Why have you brought the assembly of the Lord into the wilderness that we should die here, both we and our cattle? And why have you made us come up out of this Egypt to bring us to this evil place? It is no place for grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, and there is no water to drink." Moses and Aaron went in from the presence of the assembly to the entrance of the tent of meeting and fell on their faces. The glory of the Lord appeared to them. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Take the staff and assemble the congregation, you and Aaron, your brother, and tell the rock before their eyes to yield its water. So you shall bring water out of the rock for them and give drink to the congregation and their cattle." And Moses took the staff from before the Lord as he commanded him. Then Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, "Hear now, you rebels, shall we bring water for you from this out of this rock?" And Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock with his staff twice. And water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their livestock. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you do not believe in me, to uphold me as holy in the eyes of the people of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land that I have given them. These are the waters of Meribah, where the people of Israel quarreled with the Lord, and through them he showed himself holy." Verse 14. Moses sent messengers from Kadesh, to get the place they're at, to the king of Edom. This is the story we just read about a minute ago. "Thus says your brother Israel, you know all the hardships we have met, how our fathers went down to Egypt, and we lived in Egypt a long time, and the Egyptians dealt harshly with us and our fathers. And when we cried to the Lord, we heard our voice and sent an angel and brought us out of Egypt. And here we are in Kadesh, a city on the edge of your territory. Please let us pass through your land. We will not pass through field or vineyard or drink water from a well. We will go along the king's highway. We will not turn aside to the right hand or to the left until we have passed through your territory." But Edom said to him, "You shall not pass through, lest I come out with a sword against you." And the people of Israel said to them, "We will go up by the highway, and if we drink of your water, I and my livestock, then I will pay for it. Let me only pass through on foot, nothing more." But he said, "You shall not pass through." And Edom came out against him with a large army and with a strong force. Thus Edom refused to give Israel passage through his territory. And so Israel turned away from him. Verse 22. They journeyed from Kadesh and the people of Israel. The whole congregation came to Mount Hor. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron at Mount Hor on the border of the land of Edom, "Let Aaron be gathered to his people, for he shall not enter the land that I have given to the people of Israel because you rebelled against my command at the waters of Meribah." Take Aaron and Eleazar, his son, bring them up to Mount Hor, and strip Aaron of his garments and put them on Eleazar, his son. Aaron shall be gathered to his people and shall die there. Moses did as the Lord commanded, and they went up to Mount Hor in the sight of all congregation. And Moses stripped Aaron of his garments and put them on Eleazar, his son, and Aaron died there on the top of the mountain. Moses and Eleazar came down from the mountain. When all the congregation saw that Aaron had perished, all the house of Israel wept for Aaron for 30 days. So again, just recounting that story because it's so close to the proximity of what's happening here. Going back to our story from Judges. So he's already said that, you know, we didn't take your land. It was never your land. It was great to tell him that anymore. Tells this first story of how they went to this king of Edom, and he wouldn't let them pass. Now he's going to tell the story in this next section of how Israel got this land from the Amorites, not the Ammonites, the Amorites. Again, the two different people. Chapter 11, back in Judges. Begin at verse 18. Then they journeyed, after this king of Moab, and they were in Kadesh. Then they journeyed through the wilderness and went around the land of Edom and the land of Moab and arrived on the east side of the land of Moab and camped on the other side of the Arnon. Now we're getting to this area here. So they're on the east side, the other side of Arnon. But they did not enter the territory of Moab, for the Arnon was a boundary of Moab. Israel then sent messengers to Sihon, king of the Amorites, king of Heshbon. And Israel said to him, "Please let us pass through your land to our country." But Sihon did not trust Israel to pass through his territory. So Sihon gathered all his people together and camped at Gaz and fought with Israel. And the Lord, the God of Israel, gave Sihon and all his people into the hand of Israel, and they defeated them. And so Israel took possession of all the land of the Amorites who inhabited the country. And they took possession of all the territory of the Amorites, from the Arnon to the Jabbok, and from the wilderness to the Jordan. So they took it from the Amorites, this area here. Okay? And now let's go back and read the original text of that. Numbers chapter 21. Begin at verse 21. Then Israel sent messengers to Sihon, king of the Amorites, saying, "Let me pass through your land. We will not turn aside into the field or vineyard. We will not drink the water of the well. We will go by the king's highway until we have passed through your territory." But Sihon would not allow Israel to pass through his territory. He gathered all his people together and went out against Israel to the wilderness and came to Jaaz and fought against Israel. And Israel defeated him with the edge of the sword and took possession of his land from the Arnon to the Jabbok, as far as to the who? Ammonites. All this land they took, Arnon to the Jabbok, to the Jordan, as far as to the Ammonites, not into the land of Ammonites. So he took this land of the Amorites, but not the Ammonites. For the border of the Ammonites was strong. That's why he didn't get in there in that area. And Israel took all the cities, and Israel settled in all the cities of the Amorites in Hezbon and all its villages. Again, up to the land of the Ammonites. Remember, this king of Ammonites says, "You took my land." He's telling the story. "We didn't take your land. It was Amorites." Now, before we go on to the next part, we've got to review one person. He's going to be mentioned in one verse, and let's just review him real quick. That's Balak. Next section we're mentioning. This Balak is the poor son of King of Moab. After this defeat of the Amorites that we just read about, when they went and took this land of Amorites, this Balak feared the Israelites, so he's afraid of them. And so he hires a soothsayer to pronounce a curse on Israel. The soothsayer's name was Balaam. Okay, so he hires this soothsayer. Balak escorts this Balaam, the soothsayer, to three different mountains to offer three different sacrifices. Again, his purpose is to curse Israel. But when he does this, it turns on him, and Balaam actually delivers blessings, not curses each time. After this, he gets mad and he sends Balaam away. That's the background of this Balak you're going to hear about in one verse here in a second. So this next section, Jephthah clarifies. God gave them the land of the Amorites, not the Ammonites. And furthermore, he's also going to say, Jephthah's going to say that they have been there for 300 years. And Jephthah even questions the king of the Ammonites, in all that time, that 300 years, why didn't you take the land back then? Why now? He questions even further. Why are you trying to take it now? So let's read Judges chapter 11, verses 23. So then the Lord, the God of Israel, dispossessed the Amorites from before his people Israel. And are you to take possession of them? Will you not possess what Chemosh, your God, gives you to possess? And all that the Lord our God has dispossessed before us, we will possess it. Now, are you any better than Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab? Did he ever contend against Israel, or did he ever go to war with them? While Israel lived in Heshbon, its villages, and Aram, and its villages, and all the cities that are on the banks of the Arnon, 300 years, why did you not deliver them within that time? I, therefore, have not sinned against you, and you do me wrong by making war on me. The Lord, the judge, decide this day between the people of Israel and the people of Ammon. But the king of the Ammonites did not listen to the words of Jephthah that he had sent to him. This next section here, as this war is about to happen, Jephthah is going to make a tragic vow, one he's going to regret. Verse 29. Then the Spirit of the Lord was upon Jephthah, and he passed through Gilead and Manasseh. And passed on to Mizpah of Gilead. From Mizpah to Gilead he passed on to the Ammonites. And Jephthah made a vow to the Lord and said, If you will give the Ammonites into my hand, then whatever comes out of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the Ammonites shall be the Lord's. And I will offer it as a burnt offering. And so Jephthah crossed over to the Ammonites to fight against them. And the Lord gave them into his hand. And he struck them from Ar to the neighborhood of Minnith. 20 cities, and as far as Abel carried, with a great blow. So the Ammonites were subdued before the people of Israel. Then Jephthah came to his home at Mizpah, and behold, his daughter came out to meet him with tambourines and with dances. She was his only child. Besides her, he had neither son nor daughter. And as soon as he saw her, he tore his clothes and said, Alas, my daughter, you have brought me very low, and you have become the cause of great trouble to me. For I have opened my mouth to the Lord, and I cannot take back my vow. And she said to him, My father, you have opened your mouth to the Lord. Do to me according to what has gone out of your mouth. Now that the Lord has avenged you on your enemies, on the Ammonites. So she said to her father, Let this thing be done for me. Leave me alone 2 months, that I may go up and down on the mountains and weep for my virginity, I and my companions. And so he said, Go. And he sent her away for 2 months, and she departed. She and her companions, and wept for her virginity on the mountains. And at the end of 2 months, she returned to her father, who did with her according to his vow that he had made. So she had never known a man, and it became a custom in Israel that the daughters of Israel went year by year to lament the daughter of Jephthah, the Gileadite, 4 days in that year. So this vow he makes hastily, but he has to hold it. It's a vow he made to God. His daughter came out, and so he had to do that. Next section here in chapter 12 finishes up Jephthah. We're going to see that there's a conflict with Ephraim, his brothers. We'll begin there in verse 1. The men of Ephraim were called to arms, and they crossed to Zaphon and said to Jephthah, Why did you cross over to fight against the Ammonites and did not call us to go with you? We will burn your house over you with fire. And Jephthah said to them, I and my people had a great dispute with Ammonites, and when I called you, you did not save me from their hand. And when I saw that you would not save me, I took my life in my hand and crossed over against the Ammonites. And the Lord gave them into my hand. Why then have you come up to me this day to fight against me? And Jephthah gathered all the men of Gilead and fought with Ephraim. And the men of Gilead struck Ephraim because they said, You are fugitives of Ephraim, you Gileadites. In the midst of Ephraim and Manasseh. And the Gileadites captured the fords of the Jordan against the Ephraimites. And when any of the fugitives of Ephraim said, "Let me go over," the men of Gilead said to him, "Are you an Ephraimite?" And when he said no, they said to him, "Then say Shiboleth." You know, with the H in there, S-H-I-B. And he said Siboleth, without the H, for he could not pronounce it right. His dialect didn't make it correct for him to do. He wasn't able to do it. And then they seized him and slaughtered him at the fords of the Jordan at the time of 42,000 of the Ephraimites fell. Jephthah judged Israel for 6 years. And then Jephthah the Gileadite died, and he was buried in the city of Gilead. So again, we just see this test depending on where he was born. And that's all for Jephthah. Questions or comments about his story? We kept on reading there, the Ammonites. Keep in mind, and we also read about the Moabites there. Remember the Ammonites, Ammon, and Moabites, Moab, they were brothers. Okay, so there was brethren there, so it was, they had that relationship there as well. We're going to begin Samson on Wednesday, but let's go ahead and go over these. There's three more minor judges in between those two, and then we'll be done for the morning. After him, Ibzan of Bethlehem judged Israel. He had 30 sons, 30 daughters. He gave in marriage outside his clan. And 30 daughters he brought in from outside for his sons. And he judged Israel for 7 years. And then Ibzan died, and he was buried at Bethlehem. Chapter 12, verse 11. After him, Elon, the Zebulunite, judged Israel. He judged Israel for 10 years. Then Elon, the Zebulunite, died and was buried at Ajalon in the land of Zebulun. Verse 13. After him, Abdon, the son of Hiel, the Parathonite, judged Israel. He had 40 sons and 30 grandsons who rode on 70 donkeys. And he judged Israel 8 years. And then Abdon, the son of Hiel, the Parathonite, died and was buried at Parathon in the land of Ephraim in the hill country of the Amalekites. And like I said, our next story will be Samson. We'll get started then. Questions or comments about today's lesson? Thank you.